Time for another Grace to You audio blog. Check out what John MacArthur has to say, then keep listening for details on how to get into the online discussion.
One of the most unusual legacies of World War II has been what are known as the cargo cults of the South Pacific. Anybody who lives in Australia or New Zealand knows about them. Many Aboriginal island people ranging from northern Australia to Indonesia were first exposed to modern civilization through the Allied armed forces during World War II. The American military, in particular, often used these remote islands in the South Pacific as sites for temporary landing strips and supply depots. Some of you will even remember, and some of you will remember your history books and be reminded of the fact that we were all over the South Pacific on remote little islands with our landing strips and our supply depots so that we could keep our men in the air particularly. And so when Americans and other allies came to these little islands and met these Aboriginal island people, they came bringing cargo. They flew in there, created these airstrips so they could fly larger equipment in there, and then they brought in huge warehouses full of cargo, and they left as quickly as they came when the war ended. The tribal people had absolutely no opportunity to learn the ways of civilization, but for a brief moment, they saw high technology up close. Cargo planes would swoop in from the sky, they would land, they would unload their payload, and then take off. And natives who lived in the bush all of a sudden saw cigarette lighters that produced fire instantly, and they believed it to be miraculous. They saw large machines come in and push trees down. They went all the way from not even having a wheel or a cart to seeing a jeep, modern weaponry, refrigerators, radios, talking boxes, power tools, and many varieties of food in all kinds of cans and jars. They were fascinated by all of that. And many of those tribal people concluded that the white men were gods. When the war was over and the troops were gone, tribesmen built shrines to the cargo gods. Their tabernacles were perfect replicas of cargo planes, control towers, and airplane hangars. They made them out of bamboo and woven material. These structures looked remarkably like the control towers and the plane hangars and the planes themselves, but they were really non-functional. All they were was shrines or temples to the cargo gods. On some of those remote islands today, the cargo cults still thrive. Some have personified all Americans in one deity, and they call that deity Tom Navy. They pray for holy cargo from every airplane that flies over. They venerate religious relics like Zippo lighters, cameras, eyeglasses, ballpoint pens, nuts and bolts, and so on. As civilization has begun to penetrate some of these cultures, their fascination for cargo has not diminished. In fact, missionaries who have been sent to these areas where cargo cults have flourished receive a warm reception at first because the cargo cultists view their arrival as the second coming of the cargo god. But they're looking for cargo, not gospel. And missionaries say they find it very difficult to penetrate the materialism that is the essence of the cargo cults. In recent years, the charismatic movement has spawned its own variety of cargo cult. It is called the Word Faith Movement, known otherwise as the Faith Movement, known as the Faith Formula, known as the Word of Faith, Hyper Faith, Positive Confession, Name It and Claim It, Health, Wealth, and Prosperity Teaching, all of those titles. This subdivision of the charismatic movement, listen, is easily as superstitious and materialistic as the cargo cults of the South Pacific. The leaders of this Word Faith Movement, including Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Robert Tilton, Fred Price, and Charles Capps, promise each believer financial prosperity and perfect health. Anything less, they argue, is not God's will. The tentacles of this kind of theology has reached out far and wide. They have sought mainstream acceptance, and they have managed to build relationships with people who, because of those relationships, will not speak the truth against them. And so the thing flourishes like a wildfire. And of course, it appeals to people because it demands nothing but faith. It doesn't demand holiness. It doesn't demand devotion or dedication. It only demands faith, and it promises if you have enough, you'll get rich and healthy. That's a popular message. I suppose we could say that virtually every false religion ever spawned by man worships a god whose function it is to deliver some kind of cargo. That is, human religion invariably invents gods for utilitarian reasons. They invent gods that give them what they want. They invent deities to serve them rather than the other way around. The word faith theology has turned Christianity into a system that is no different from the lowest human religions. It is a form of voodoo where God can be coerced, cajoled, manipulated, controlled, and exploited for the Christian's own ends. Word faith teachers have corrupted the heart of New Testament Christianity. They have moved the believer's focus off sound doctrine, worship, service, sacrifice, and ministry, and they've shifted it instead to promised physical, financial, and material blessings. Those blessings are the cargo that God is supposed to deliver to those who know and follow the word faith formula.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.